to student life. I'm asking if I would participate as the male staff member on a YU trip to either Krakow or to Vienna to help out in those communities as they dealt with the millions of refugees who are leaving Ukraine. As I speak now, 2 weeks later, after just recently returning from that trip, I do so with a certain feeling of trepidation. First of all, the recognition that I am jet-lagged beyond all measure, and hope that this comes out properly. A feeling that this trip of myself and Dr. Erica Brown and 28 incredible Talmidim, it was so intimate, it was so special, it was so transformative, it was so meaningful, it was so rich in every possible way that to speak about it in such like a public forum. To speak about it in such a public forum feels uncomfortable. An experience that was so impactful and so intimate and so bonding and transformative, to now speak about it to so many hundreds of people, even though people I care about tremendously, and to put it on YU Torah. And also a feeling of that so much happened during that period, and so much happened during that week, that how to even begin just in a few minutes to talk about those experiences and to reflect on those experiences. But to the degree that I felt impacted by them, and I grew from them, and I felt transformed by them, and I know that the students on the program, many of whom are in the Beis Medrash tonight, felt the same. I think we thought it was worth maybe sharing some of those experiences and some of the mussar, so to speak, some of the growth opportunities, some of the reflections for growth that I've experienced and that I believe can be shared with you as well. So I want to do so by speaking about four different elements that I believe we all experienced in that week in Vienna. And the first was the city of Vienna itself, which of course is an incredibly beautiful, historical, charming, ancient city. And the feeling that we had day in and day out was almost a sense of return. To walk by a place on several occasions where in 1938 Hitler spoke to over a million Austrians as that country was taken over, and to walk by that place proudly with yarmulkes and other manifestations of our Jewishness, to be in a city with a deep history of anti-Semitism, and for the Jews to speak about how warmly they're embraced, to meet last Friday with the president of the parliament, whose grandfather was a Nazi, and who now is the biggest supporter of Jews and the biggest opponent to anti-Semitism in all of Europe, or one of them. To sit on the plane just a few rows in front of a woman on the way back from Vienna, whose Polish grandfather saved some Jews during the Holocaust. And those Jews became academicians in Tel Aviv, and she and her father were just honored by Tel Aviv University. It was this incredible feeling of, like, return. An incredible feeling of Am HaNetzach Lo Mitachei Mederach Haruka, as Rav Kook said, that the eternal nation is not afraid of the long journey. And being back in that city, assisting refugees, bringing the Jewish values of chesed to that community, there was something very resonant and very rich and very meaningful about that image. And that's the first point. The first element to speak about and to reflect on about the long road of Klal Yisrael, the long road of history, and our own long road, where sometimes we feel submerged into a place of darkness and of yayush and of brokenness. And the ability and the hope and the strength to continue on that derech arukah. The second piece I want to speak about is specifically the Jewish community in Vienna. I first say that we were there, we met with the president of the community, and even the idea of having a president of a community is something which is so striking. It's a community of 8,000 Jews, Hasidim, a yeshivish community, a Bukharian community, a modern community, a Russian community, a Ukrainian community, all with one head, where everyone is connected. Everybody knows each other. Everybody goes to each other's simchas. And to come from a community like Muncie, or perhaps Teaneck, or the five towns of just hundreds of thousands of Jews, nobody really knows each other. There's not like a fundamental sense of a connection in an ear, in a cloud. And to have a sense of a community where everyone is so connected and so supportive of each other and known, something which was so striking, it makes one think about, as they move on in their own life, what are they looking for? When they choose where they want to live and they want to think about the values of where they want to live. But even more than that, the community of Vienna, in its response to the millions of refugees leaving the Ukraine, they made a statement several weeks ago that we're not sure how they're going to pay for it, we're not sure how we're going to afford it, we're not sure where everyone's going to stay, we're not sure what everyone's going to eat, but we have to act. We need to act. There's not a question about acting. There's not a question of a response. We need to do what we need to do, and we will find the money. And they've been raising over $100,000 a week to feed and to house and to clothe refugees coming with nothing, leaving everything behind. With the simple response of, there's something that needs to be done, and let us not in any way be hesitant, be reticent of stepping forward into the fray. I can't not believe or begin to tell you the impact of hearing that. Because so often in our life, we think about doing chesed, when we think about doing the right thing, when we think about showing up to life, the thought is, well, if it works. You know, if it works to have company over, if it works to give tzedakah, if it works to open our home, if it works to fill in the blank, so then we'll do it. But the response of a Jew fundamentally is not that. The response of a Jew is, there's a crisis, there's a need, there's a person, there's a community in pain. Where do I go? Where do I volunteer? Who needs me? Where do I have to be? Nobody who was on our trip could possibly forget, I'm sure Roma, you know who I'm going to mention among others, a fellow by the name of Maxim. Now, Maxim is a fascinating character, very, very wealthy Russian Jew living in Vienna. We're not sure exactly how he earned his wealth. And he decided that he would single-handedly raise the money for refugees to come. We went to this incredible Purim party Wednesday night of hundreds of Russian Jews. Ukrainian Jews, the 30 of us. It was just a sense of come into my home, come into my place, come into my heart, come into our shuls. It's this beautiful sense of just openness and responding and connecting and embracing. Sometimes we see that in our own base medrash, people walk in and no one says hello, people don't feel comfortable. People walk into shuls, they're told that they're in somebody's seat. But that sense of the embrace of a community and of a place and of a base medrash and a kahal, and to form our lives around that and to be mechanech our children in that, that was so powerful. And the third piece I want to speak about, and I'll try to do so without becoming very emotional, is the incredible pride that we felt in our students, in our Talmidim, in the week that we were there. And it's hard to imagine that a group of 20 to 23 year olds could walk into a city of 2 million people, and by the end of the week, every Jew and even non-Jews in that community knew who the students were. To walk down the streets, and I heard this not one time, but dozens of times in a week, being told by refugees, almost in tears, that you and the students have saved our lives, have saved our spirits. We left our homes with nothing. We didn't know what Purim would be. In enormous depression. And then to walk into the school where events were happening and to find that the YU students had brought with them 40 to 50 duffel bags of Purim costumes, of toys, of games, of Russian chumashim, of just anything you could find. And people crying, telling us that you have saved our lives, you and your students. To walk down the streets and to be stopped by people and said, oh, you're from YU, everyone's talking about you, can you come to our Purim Suda? Can you come to the Chabad Purim Suda? Which of course was amazing. People told us on our last day there, we don't know what the city is going to do when you leave. It was just bringing joy, achdus, love, hope, optimism, positivity, like every corner of the Jewish community. The refugees, a sick child with cancer, the Bnei Akiva, the local school, the Chabad house, the Hasidish Shtibel. You can speak to David Rubin about that, and Yehuda Ben Hamu afterwards. Every single moment was just filled with elevation. I want to tell you what happened on Friday night. We were sitting, having dinner in the restaurant connected to the main shul in Vienna. And we were joined in the same dining room with about, I don't know, 150 or so students from the local yeshiva, the local school. Most of the kids are not really from. And the head of the school, because they had heard about the YU kids, and wherever the YU kids went, there was activity and dancing and music and joy. So he came over and he said, do you mind maybe if your students can come over and help with the Zemiris a little bit? And literally 30 seconds later, the room was on fire. There was like a giant mosh pit, you know, men on one side, women on the other, of just hugging and joy. And it didn't make a difference about the language. And it didn't make a difference of the age. It didn't make a difference of backgrounds. It was just this sense of elevating Jews, of elevating the world. And when these kids left about an hour later, after singing and dancing the entire evening, kids were coming over to me, asking for brachos over and over again. They were coming over to all the kids in the program, the students from YU, hugging them, telling them they loved them. And we heard from the principal today of the school in Vienna of a number of kids who now want to come to YU because they felt so touched by the presence of the YU students for that week. Now, if a person thinks in their own life, most of you are not going to go to Vienna to work with refugees. But how many opportunities do we have in a day to bring joy and light and meaning and hope and warmth and embrace and kindness and a smile and our presence to hundreds of people almost on a daily basis? I say this not in any self-congratulatory type of way, but there was a student here in the yeshiva who was struggling recently the last few days. And when I came home yesterday and I found out what was going on with him, so I drove out to his house, wherever that is, about an hour and a quarter away from here. And the student said, "Rebbe, what? You're jet lagged and you're driving 2.5 hours. I can't believe it. You know, it's so unnecessary." And I told him what I'll tell you. That's simply the way to live life. It is simply the way to live life, of showing up for people, for communities, for our friends, for our family, to elevate and to connect, and to be able to be mitaleh, to elevate the spirits of people around us. That's called Olam Chesed Yibaneh. It's building a life of generosity, of chesed, and of connection. And to have seen that in that week, and the impact simply of kindness, for that alone, you go to the ends of the earth to witness the strength of that, and the beauty of that, and the intensity of that. And lastly, I want to speak about the fourth element. That's really the element of the Nishmas Yisrael that I've never experienced more palpably than I did, and I believe any of us did on the trip in that week. If I could just maybe like paint a scene for a moment, it was exactly a week ago, around 9:30 on Tuesday night, maybe a little bit earlier on Tuesday night, and there's a giant room where refugees come. Many of these refugees had just arrived that day or the day before, people in a state of just... And after dinner, we decided to have like a kumsitz in the middle of the room. I can't begin to tell you how beautiful it was. And refugees who were there, some of which only spoke Russian, no Hebrew and no English. There was this gentleman who just came from the Ukraine, who was a moel and a doctor in the Ukraine, standing, singing Oseh Shalom Bimrumav. Most people were not... many people were not so from, so they sort of knew the old classics. You know, Achenu, Kol Olam Kulo, just arm in arm with people we had just met, whose English was almost non-existent. But a feeling of a oneness, of a connection, of a Lev Echad, that is a living, breathing organism in a person's life. In the same way that we're all conscious of our own neshama, our own soul, our own godly given spirit, and as real as our fingers are, and our arms are, and our bodies are, that Nishmas Yisrael is as real as any piece of ourselves. Mm-hmm. just thinking about pulling up to various events in the week that we were there, and we would get out of the taxis or we would show up, and all these refugee kids would come like running over just to sort of hug the YU students, probably also looking for gifts along the way. The beauty of those moments. And I guess the charge to myself and to the students who were there and to you as well is, do we make these elements front and center in our life? You know, obviously the centrality of Lima Torah, that is unquestioned. The centrality of Tefillah, an intense relation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But like, what is it that we aspire to in this world? What is it that occupies our thoughts? What is it that drives our feelings about the future? What is it that we yearn for? What is it that we're passionate about? What is it that we want to contribute in this world? What do we want our legacy to be? How do we want to impact the future of Klal Yisrael? Do we feel that Nishmas Yisrael? Do we want to bring joy to people around us? Is our whole life a thought of how to give to another Jew and to another person? Do we have that sense of, in the same way that Jews came back to Austria, to those places, of the Am HaNetzach, Lo Mitzachei Mederech Arukah, of the destiny of the Jewish people? Do we have a sense as a community and as a family of opening our doors, and opening our homes, opening our shuls? Are we thinking about the impact that we're going to leave on this universe? Do we think about what's our contribution going to be to Klal Yisrael and to bringing the Geula? Are these the thoughts that keep us awake at night, both in its individualistic form and its communal form? So my hope is certainly that this war of utter devastation that people fight wars for all sorts of territorial reasons, and like the human face of it is just overwhelming. Just people with nothing, just leaving everything behind. So we hope that that war comes to an end. We hope that the refugees, the Jewish refugees in Ukraine, can return either to their homes or to Eretz Yisrael or some other safe harbor. And I hope for myself and for the beloved Hamidim who are there with me in Vienna and for you as well, that the messages of the destiny of Klal Yisrael, the power and the generosity of community, the power, the significance, the necessity of living a life of bringing light to others, and the incredible breathing, pulsating, alive sense of the Nishmas Yisrael can form and create and cultivate and shape everything that we do in our lives, everything that we aspire to be, everything we want to leave in this world. And Amir Tashem, even if the ultimate Geula is not around the corner, but for all of us to live lives of redemption and of meaning and of beauty and of generosity, to all be a part of the process of bringing Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehera v'yameinu, Amen.